On the 25th day of October, Halloween gave to me 25 Isabel's Freaking, 24 Vincent's Farming, 23 Cushing's Ghouling, 22 Rutger's Glaring, 21 Baby's Killing, 20 Horsehead Snorting, 19 D's Renting, 18 Frink's Perving, 17 Angel's Stripping, 16 Demon's Jazzercising, 15 Runes on Parchment, 14 Joseph's Whispering, 13 Senior's Bleeding, 12 Creepy Masks, 11 Dancing Demons, 10 Catholic Monsters, 9 Priests of Miracling, 8 Jerry's Vamping, 7 Jody's Oinking, 6 Body Swapping, 5 Reeds of Wolfing, 4 Drunken Uncles, 3 Werewolf Colonies, 2 Spooky Sisters, and a Psycho who killed Janet Lee. Well, hey there, everyone, and welcome to the 25th of 31 Days of Halloween. As I have said in the previous installments, past couple of days, these are movies in this final stretch that we're discussing that are kind of hard to ignore classics that we didn't cover last year. That's one of our rules of the 31 Days of Halloween, is that we don't repeat ourselves. And this falls distinctly into the category of things I should have seen and didn't. And of course, I'm talking about the film Possession from 1981. It is a movie I heard a ton about for a very long time. And I would imagine you have too. If you haven't seen it, and you may not have because it was unusually hard to find to get a look at. But if you haven't seen it, it's a movie that is often sort of harkened back to when people talk about art house horror as being one of the first great examples, or certainly in the same realm as something like Repulsion from Roman Polanski. And so, to give you the quick bona fides, Possession is directed by a guy named Andrzej Zulawski, and he's a Polish director, directed 16, 17 movies or so. You know, kind of writes and directs his own stuff. Again, very auteur kind of director. And It stars Sam Neill, who you may recall from Jurassic Park, and a terrific Twitter account in which he highlights the animals on his farm. So that's good. And the other star, and really the big star of the film, is Isabella Gianni, who is a, I believe, French actress, although she speaks German as well. But beautiful, beautiful actress, was in she was in Ishtar, strangely, if you remember that movie, the famous dud of a film. She was, speaking of Polanski, she was in The Tenant. She played Mina in Werner Herzog's Nosferatu. So she's been around, and a number of other films as well. Claudine Claudel, she played the title character in that. And sort of known at the time for being this almost ethereally beautiful actress. And the movie is certainly art house. And as I said, I hadn't seen it before. When I was coming to this movie, I didn't know exactly what to expect, other than it was a little bit different, and that it was highly regarded. It was considered a terrific horror film. Although hard to define as a horror film in some ways. And I would agree with that. And I'd always heard about the train sequence, the train station sequence, or train tunnel sequence in Possession, in which Isabel Ajani stages an incredible freakout. So going into it with that limited information, I wasn't really sure what to expect. And the story is the story of a divorce. Sam Neill plays a spy in West Germany. That is the implication. Again, everything I say about this movie, put an asterisk beside it, and that asterisk will lead you to this statement. A lot of this movie I don't totally understand. This movie is super weird, and it doesn't go out of its way to explain itself, which is good, but also it leads to me making some assumptions, which may or may not be true. And so Sam Neill is playing a spy, but he is sort of retiring from his job because his marriage is falling apart. And he goes home, and Isabella Gianni and his son Bob, she is, you know, telling him, like, hey, I think that things have changed in our relationship. I want a divorce. He makes some attempts to woo her back. They try to have sex, and that doesn't quite do it. And then it comes to light that she's been seeing another man and has been for some time. And then the weirdness begins. I mean, it was a little weird before that, but then everybody starts speaking in these histrionic ways. Like, there isn't a scene where Sam Neill and Isabella Gianni aren't just screaming at one another for a significant portion of the film. And she ends up moving out. He assumes that it's with this guy, Heinrich, that she's been seeing. And Heinrich, by the way, one of the great characters in film history, who is just this glorious European weirdo, who's into sort of Zen philosophy and loves everyone and everything, and may or may not have come on to Sam Neill, but certainly, like, he's the kind of guy that probably would be cool with a three-way. A lot of interesting dynamics at work with Heinrich. And so Sam Neill has a few days where he just drinks and screams to get over this relationship, and then goes home to find that Isabella Gianni has disappeared, leaving their son Bob alone. So he decides, well, I'm going to stay at this apartment, take care of my son, and try to figure out what the hell's going on with my wife. And so in one of the best scenes of the movie, he tracks down this guy Heinrich and meets up with him at Heinrich's house, where Heinrich, like I said, almost comes on to him, but is also just discussing, like, how transcendent their sex was with his sex with Isabella Gianni, but also lets it drop that, hey, she isn't staying here, which furthers the mystery of, well, if she's not at home and she's not staying with Heinrich, where the hell is she going? And so Sam Neill works to track her down, talks to her friend Margit, who is, a real pill. He does not care for Margie even a little bit. Although at one point they sleep in the same bed, and that's very strange. At any rate, there's a lot of this movie that's just like, I'm not sure I understand why these characters are behaving this way, other than this is sort of what the movie, like, it's a very surreal dream logic kind of film in a lot of ways. So what we learn ultimately is that Isabella Gianni is keeping this apartment near the Berlin Wall. And I'm sure there's political subtext to that I don't get, other than, you know, this movie is a lot of themes about decay, whether that's political decay or the decay of a relationship, or, you know, that kind of thing. That I got. What the political stuff, maybe not so much. I was alive in the 80s, but just barely. So in this apartment, though, it turns out that Isabella Gianni is keeping some sort of tentacle monster that she might be feeding it people that come to the apartment, but I'm not sure if that's the case or if she's just caring for it. Certainly fucking it. That's clear at one point. So I'm not entirely sure, but anyway, people show up at this apartment. She ends up killing them, whether it's the detective hired to follow her or another guy. Heinrich almost gets it there, but instead Sam Neill kills him and stages it to look like either a suicide by toilet or a murder that he can get out of, or an accidental death. And that, which leads to a really strange conversation where Sam Neill talks to Heinrich's mother about how she found his body but can't find his soul. And again, probably a very important part of the subtext. I don't entirely understand it, but there you have it. It's it's a really strange movie, if I haven't said that already. And so through the course of the film, Sam Neill discovers this tentacle monster. He's horrified by it, but is willing to sort of, like, run away with Isabella Gianni, and like, let's get away from all of this stuff. But they can't, because she is, when he goes to find her again, she's fucking the tentacle monster and looks at him and says, almost, almost. And so he freaks out, ends up staging an accident, which leads to him getting shot. And also during the course of the film, he meets Bob's school teacher, who is a doppelganger of Isabella Gianni, only she doesn't constantly scream and, as far as we know, is not fucking tentacle monsters. So, did I say this movie's a little weird? It's a little weird. And so the end of the movie is, you know, spoilers if you want to see Possession. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it for sure. It's unlike anything you're ever going to see. But the end of the film is that she ends up creating Isabella Gianni, sort of this doppelganger, or at least the tentacle monster evolves into a doppelganger of Sam Neill. And she is going to stay with that, but she ends up getting shot by some police who are hunting Sam Neill, but the doppelganger is unharmed. And the end of the film is the doppelganger, who seems to have this strange power over people. Like, there's something monstrous about him, for sure. And he gets away, goes to the Isabella Gianni doppelganger, who's the school teacher who's been taking care of Bob, while Sam Neill's been doing all kinds of weird shit, like killing people in toilets. And then he ends up being at the door while you hear explosions and stuff. And the kid tells the teacher, the Isabella Gianni doppelganger, don't open, don't open, don't open. It's really unsettling. That last scene is really creepy and really gets under your skin. And Possession as a whole, though, that's kind of the story. But Possession is really... When I found out that the director was having a divorce at the time that he wrote and directed, or it was on the heels of a divorce that he wrote and directed Possession. And that makes perfect sense. This is a movie about a guy wrestling with the fact that his relationship is ending and trying to figure out why. And this movie is sort of that idea through the prism of the woman being monstrous and erratic. And I think you can make the argument that it is perhaps somewhat a misogynist film, because it is, but also the view of women, and I don't know that the view of men is any better, but the view of women is that Isabella Gianni, for wanting this divorce and having this affair, is a total monster. And throughout the film, like, she wears the same dress a bunch and it just gets dirtier and dirtier, and she becomes more and more crazed. And as I said, there's a scene where she just has a incredible freak out in this subway tunnel, and which culminates with her having a miscarriage of faith, I think is what she says, that she has two children, Faith and Hope, and Faith is the one that she miscarried. And again, super weird artsy stuff, but really effective. Like, that's the thing about watching this movie. I'll get back to that what I think is happening, but one of the things that's a joy in watching this movie is you have no idea what the hell is going to happen next, because left turns abound in this movie. And that makes it really exciting to watch, because you're kind of in this dream world where logic doesn't entirely dictate the events of the film. Kind of anything can happen. And, you know, within the bounds of reason, like, nobody flies or anything, but tentacle monsters turn into husbands and, you know, let that be your guide. So there's the idea of the woman as monster, but also there's the doppelganger that Isabella Gianni has, the school teacher, who is this, like, innocent and beautiful woman who doesn't argue with Sam Neill and just wants to help take care of the kid and that kind of thing. And it's this very, stereotypical sort of housewife kind of character. And interestingly, though, Sam Neill, who is constantly yelling in this movie, which is a gear that I did not know Sam Neill had, but because they're constantly screaming at each other in the midst of these arguments, it's fun to see him in that kind of crazed way. But, you know, he goes from this guy who's kind of a monster himself and having his wife followed and murdering to, I guess, help, you know, hide her crimes. But also he becomes a doppelganger that's even more monstrous, one presumes, because as soon as the kid gets a whiff of this dude being at the door, the kid freaks out and goes upstairs to a bathroom where he lays face down in the water. So, yeah, I don't know that I entirely understand possession, but I couldn't look away from it while I was watching it, and there are some scenes in it that are really disturbing. Not just the fucking the tentacle monster, although that is maybe the one thing that, when I think about this film, I will think about that and Isabella Gianni freaking out in the subway tunnel. But there's a lot of stuff, like I said, that ending shot of Sam Neill pressed against a glass door trying to get in as the sounds of bombs go off. That is really disturbing. Some of the arguments, too. Like, it reminded me a bit of Hereditary and the Toni Collette dinner scene where she just gets raw with her son and husband. It's not quite that direct and honest and realistic like it is in Hereditary. It could be as honest. It's just not as realistic. Because when they're having these conversations, they're having these like hyper esoteric discussions of relationships and when do things in relationships change. And like I said, it's very clearly the director working through a divorce, but working through a divorce in through his subconscious. And it's incredibly striking. If you haven't seen it, here's the other trouble that I had, is that trying to find this movie, I think it's out of print on Blu-ray right now. So the only Blu-ray copy I could find was $185, I think. It's not on any of the major streaming services. I found it on a service called Metrograph, which apparently is this very niche sort of art house streaming service that allows you to see some in-theater screenings at home and also streams a handful of movies. And by handful, I mean like 6 or 7. And this happened to be one of them. And it's only streaming through October 31st. So if you want to see Possession, you plunk down $5 for this Metrograph app before Halloween and you can see it. But it's difficult to get your hands on at this point. Yeah, it's a very interesting movie. It certainly lived up to what I had heard about it. And because I didn't know much more than what I said up front, that it was just sort of an art house horror movie and that Isabella Gianni freaks out in the middle of it, I had no idea that there was a tentacle monster. Now you know more than I do. It was really something. And it made me question whether or not the other movies I've watched for this 31 days are movies at all, because this one takes things to a different level in some ways. If you've never seen Possession, I can't recommend it enough, because you're never going to see anything like it. And even if you have a negative reaction to it, which is totally a reasonable reaction to this movie, like a lot of art house movies, right, that you can just be like, this vibe is not what I'm in for. Like, this director is presenting something on screen that just makes me hate it. And that's a completely reasonable reaction to this movie, but I think I kind of love it, and I wish that it were more available so I could get a Blu-ray that had like some great, you know, critical commentaries on it and some making ofs and stuff like that. Just an FYI, the tentacle monster that Isabella Gianni has sex with, by the way, designed by Carlo Rambaldi, who we last saw on this list of 31 days of Halloween as designing the werewolf from Silver Bullet. So that ain't nothing. Anyway, it's a crazy movie. If you can get your hands on it, please do. And also, please drop me a line and tell me what you made of it, because I'm still wrestling with it. But Possession is unlike anything else that we're going to talk about on this list. Certainly moving forward, the rest of it's going to be way more mainstream than something like Possession. If you want to drop me a line, you can do so on Facebook, or whatever they decide to call it now, at Legion Podcast. You can also find me in the group The Dark Parade. You can also find me on Twitter at Legion Podcasts or Dark Parade Pod. Either one of those will work. And Instagram also, Legion Podcast. So feel free to drop a line at any of those places to let me know what you thought about Possession. Or if you have questions, if something I said doesn't make any sense and you're like, wait a second, I need some clarification about a crazy thing you said about the movie Possession, feel free. That is also a completely reasonable reaction to the thing said in this particular retrospective of Possession. At any rate, that's going to do it for today. It is a Monday morning. I hope that you have a wonderful week. This is the last full week of our Halloween celebration. Do good work out there. Be spooky, especially. And come back tomorrow for yet another film in our 31 Days of Halloween. Probably less tentacle monsters in that one. See you then.